back into that. Let's sing that again after we take communion. But that ties in into what I had on my heart tonight as we approach the meal that symbolifies our covenant in Christ. How many of you know if you're a Christian, you're in a covenant? And you're not just in a covenant with any old body. You're in a covenant with the living God. And what covenant means is you have the back of someone. That you go to war when they go to war. And it is not just a protection covenant. It is an ally covenant. That when you declare war on something, your ally declares war on it. And when something declares war on you, your ally declares war on it. And friend, you may be surrounded by something, but can I tell you this? Whatever you're surrounded by, your God is surrounding it. You remember in the Old Testament when the enemy came in and just surrounded the prophet? And his servant was panicked. His servant was worried. And the prophet prayed, "Lord, open up his eyes that he may see." And when he opened up, and when the Lord opened up that servant's eyes, the servant looked out and he saw that, yes, they were surrounded by an enemy, but that God had completely surrounded that enemy that had surrounded them. And so you may be surrounded by something tonight, but friend, I'm telling you, those that are with you are far more than anything that is coming against you. It may be surrounding you, but your God is surrounding it. Our covenant is one of protection. And you know, when we take communion, we know to judge ourselves and to approach the body of Jesus with humility, to approach the blood of Jesus and receive his mercy. We know to examine ourselves, to see if there's anything we need to make adjustments in, changes in, those types of things. But one of the things that I was talking to someone about out in the parking lot after the end of our last communion service, they made mention of one of our missionaries that we support from Mozambique. They were talking about how when they were in the last time, they took communion. And during that communion, they talked about that when we examine ourselves, it's not just to see if there's any changes or adjustments we need to make in life, but it's also to examine, am I walking in awe that this meal bought? Am I receiving all that this covenant has opened up to me? And when we take communion, Jesus said, I want you to consider my body that was broken for you. I want you to consider my blood that was shed for you and what you got when you got that. And friends, I'm telling you, when the body of Jesus was broken for us and when the blood of Jesus was shed for us, it's not just a ticket for forgiveness and mercy and a better life when we leave this life. It is a ticket for a greater life right now. That what he did through this sacrifice is he split open heaven for us. That you and I, we are living underneath an open heaven. That with that, all that heaven has, all the power that is there, it is available to us. That when we bind things on this earth, it is bound in heaven. And when we loose things on this earth, it is loosed in heaven. And when we take this meal, we need to approach it. And we need to ask ourselves, are we settling for a lesser life than what Christ freely died to give us? Are we settling for something that is a lower standard than what we could be walking in? And friends, I want to encourage you in this. This is something that the Lord's been encouraging me with. Is that there is so much more that he has for us than what we are in right now. And I don't care what you're in right now or how good it may be. Friend, I'm telling you, there is so much more he has for you that this provided for us than you are walking in right now. And what I want you to do this year is to determine to leave nothing on the table, to not relax your grip, but to declare war on whatever it is you want to see in your life. And know that when you do, your covenant partner is backing you up. Go to that scripture in 1 Samuel, if you will. I had several scriptures that I had for them on the screens. Go to 1 Samuel, that one in 1 Samuel, if you can. That one's 2 Samuel. I have that one, too, we can look at. But I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 11, or 14. Notice, in this chapter, what has happened is the Philistines have declared war on the Israelites. The only problem with this is the Israelites have less people, but they also don't have any weapons. The Philistines had come and taken all the iron out of the nation. And so with this, you're declaring war on really a defenseless foe. I mean, you have spears and swords and shields, and they have, you know, rakes and all these types of things. And so you see the children of Israel just incredibly scared and hiding out. And with this, Jonathan, who was a covenant man, a man of faith, a man of honor, a man of integrity, something comes over him in this moment. When they are hiding out and the Philistines have encircled them and encamped them, something just comes over him. And I want something to just come over you this year. Just come over you. Will you make a decision? You know what? Life, there's more to this life than what I have right now. And I'm not just going to sit here with an enemy around me. I'm not just going to sit here feeling sorry for myself. I'm not just going to sit here in fear or in anxiety or worry. I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to step out knowing that God is with me. And with this, this is where Jonathan and the people of Israel are at. And finally, Jonathan's just tired of sitting here with an enemy sitting right there surrounding them. And so he turns to his armor bearer. It's just one other guy. He turns to his armor bearer, and Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." Now, what does that uncircumcised mean? It means a people without a covenant with God. It means they may have swords, they may have shields, they may have spears, they may be mightier than us, bigger than us, and have more than us. But at the end of the day, they don't have what we have. And what we have is a covenant with Almighty God. And He will back us up, and He will protect us, and He will fight for us. So notice what He does. It says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Now notice this next part. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or to save by few. What's He saying? He's saying it doesn't matter if we have a lot. It doesn't matter if we have a little. If we've got the Lord with us, we are greater and bigger and stronger than anything we would ever go against. And so he turns to his fella and he says, I know the nation of Israel doesn't want this war, but buddy, if you want this war, I want this war. And he turns to his armor bearer and says, let's just go fight them. And watch what the armor bearer says to him. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in your heart. Now this is a phrase that's all through Scripture. Do all that's in your heart. If it was ever once in your heart, if you ever once dreamed it, if you ever once thought it, if it was ever strong in your heart, the Bible says, do it all. Don't leave any of it on the table. Don't let any situation take something out of your heart. If it is in your heart, do all that is in your heart. Come on now, say, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it. If I ever had a dream, if I ever had a hope, I'm going to do it all. Now notice this. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to your heart. And you see in this passage, you can go home and read it for homework if you want, in 1 Samuel chapter 14. When they turned, they went up to this garrison, they whipped the whole army. These two men whipped the whole army, won the battle for Israel, supernaturally changed the system of power in that land. It was a great victory because the Lord showed up. And friends, this is when the Lord shows up. When you make a decision to go after all that is in your heart, we underestimate the power of desire. We think of desire as just a whim or wish, but God says, man, if you desire it, I mean, if you just desire it, go for it. If you ever once dreamed it, go for it. If it was ever in your heart, do all that is in your heart, for I am with you. And friends, I want to encourage you tonight as we sing and as we worship and as you take communion, that you make a decision that I am done with fear, I am done with insecurity. And maybe your fear is coming from a battle that is coming against you right now, maybe in your health or maybe in your finances or in your company or in your business. This is a time where you can remind yourself, no. When it declared war on me, it declared war on him. And there is no battle he cannot win. There is no army, no sickness, no nothing that is greater than him. He's my covenant partner. I'm in covenant with God. And when it declared war on me, it declared war on him. He's my covenant partner. But there may be some of you, and I'm kind of, the Lord's bringing me to this place, where there have been things that have been in your heart that for whatever reason you let go. And you've settled for less than what God has for you. And over the last couple of, really year and a half, the Lord has just renewed dreams in me. He's put dreams in my heart for a new building, dreams in my heart to write a book, dreams in my heart to start a website for leaders and put podcasts and things for Christian leaders, but business leaders as well. We bought the website this week called ignitelife.com. I'm excited about it. And we're just going to use the website to ignite life and ideas in the hearts of leaders and those who are going after the great things God has for them. So, but with this, these were things on my heart years ago. And for whatever reason, I think for me it was because I just got comfortable. I've been leaving those things on the table. And friend, whatever you leave on the table, you'll never eat in life. You have to make a decision to pick it up and go after it. But here's the thing. You also have to know when you go after it, it's not just you going after it. If you declared war on it, your ally in heaven has declared war on it as well. He is your covenant partner. So you approach it with boldness. You approach it knowing he is with me. And so tonight as we take communion, let's remind ourselves that we will not be slaves to fear. Amen. We will not be slaves to fear. That the same God who's parted the seas in your life is the same God who can feed you with manna today. It's the same God who can perform his glorious miracles time and time again. Amen. So let's pray. We'll pray over it and we'll take it together. And then we'll jump back into communion. Jump back into worship. Father, we come before you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, we are no longer slaves to fear. That because of what you've done on that cross, we can be made free from sickness and disease. We can be made free from poverty and lack. We can be made free from fear and insecurity. We live underneath an open heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for it. And right now, we take of our bread. And we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that because your body was broken for us, our bodies do not have to be. And I thank you, Lord, that every person in here has a divine supply of life, health, and healing flooding into their body. Father, this is the meal that heals. And I thank you, Lord, whether it's any type of headache or sinus infection or any type of ache or pain, big stuff or little stuff, it wouldn't surprise me at all that during worship, your healing power just washes over them. Because if something has declared war on our physical bodies, it did not just declare war on us, it declared war on you. And we thank you, Lord, our covenant partner runs to our help. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Jesus that was broken for us, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus does two things. It gives us mercy. That there's not one of us who has to feel bad or under guilt or condemnation for anything we've done in our past. We receive your mercy. We receive your forgiveness. You've forgiven us. And I know we say it all the time, Father, but you've forgiven us. So we forgive ourselves. And we will not allow ourselves to struggle with the weights and sins of the past. We will not allow ourselves to struggle with, I wish I would have, or I can't believe I did. No, the blood of Jesus washes away the past. It gives us mercy. But Father, not only does the blood give us mercy, the blood gives us grace. And Father, we thank you that mercy helps our past, but grace helps our present. Grace helps our future. And Father, we thank you that by the grace of God, we will walk in greatness. By the grace of God, we will see miracles. By the grace of God, we will see breakthroughs. By the grace of God, we will see prayers answered. We will see supernatural things turn around. By the grace of God, we will walk free. By the grace of God, we will have the greatest year we have ever had ever this year. By the grace of God, we will see divine miracles, divine healings, divine things happen in our midst by the grace of God. So, Father, we approach our future with boldness. We approach tomorrow with faith. We will not be worried or anxious over it. We approach it knowing your blood has given us a divine supply of grace so that we can walk in your best. We receive the blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand back up to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dean, do you have something? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, it's time to walk in victory. It's time to know that the finished work of Christ was done for you. That when Jesus went to the cross, he had you on his heart, he had you on his mind. When he was made to be sin for you, it was made so that you could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when Jesus was raised up from the grave to sit at the right hand of throne, the throne of God, you were raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all the principalities and powers of darkness, so that you can rule and reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's time to rise up and be the people of God. It's time to walk by faith and not by sight. It's time to take your place and let the world know that you're called by my name, because in my name you should go forth and do the very works that Jesus did, because it's time for my body to demonstrate to this world that there's a miracle-working God who changes not. And his name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, who lives on the inside of you so that you can walk in him and live in him and demonstrate to the world that healing and the power of God is a thing of the present, not a thing of the past. So live like a child of the King and enforce the victory, and you'll see mighty victories in the days to come, says the Spirit of grace.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the favorite messages my father ever preached was entitled, It's Good to Be King. It's Good to Be King. And in that, he talked about how the Bible says, you shall decree a thing and it be established unto you. And so while we worship and while we praise tonight, just decree some things. Decree some things over your life. Decree some things over your future. Decree some things over your family. Decree some things. And when you sing, make it a decree. Make it a matter of fact that I am no longer a slave to fear. Decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. Amen. Just for fun, for my own personal joy, say this with me. Say, it's good to be king. Oh, come on now. Say, it's good to be king. Amen. Let's decree some things tonight.